Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast. And we are here live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we are also on Monday on the Prophecy Zone radio network at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so you can catch us at either time. Of course, you can always go to blogtalkradio.com/prophetic news and listen to our archive programs. We've actually been broadcasting now just about 2 years, so we've been broadcasting almost every week. So I would say we probably have over 75, maybe 100 programs. And we have many, many different topics to talk about today. My guest will be Phil Armstrong from the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio, and Christine Wick, and she is the author of Explain This, a verse-by-verse explanation of the Book of Revelation. So we see so many signs of the times, don't we? We see earthquakes in diverse places, floods like we've never seen before. I know there was a real bad flood last week in New Jersey. My cousin, she's lived in the same house for over 60 years, and they never had a flood. The Passaic River never flooded like that. And they were cleaning water out of their basement for days, and they lost everything in their basement. So we see wars, many wars, especially in the Middle East, devastation in the nation of Africa. But Jesus Christ said to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And I'm going to read a scripture to you in Luke 21, and I will start at verse 8. Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass. But the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up in the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren, and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not one hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them which are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And don't we see so many of these events actually happening right before our eyes? Actually, today we will be talking about the coming war with Israel, the vote in the UN to make the give the Palestinians a state inside the tiny nation of Israel. So we are going to be talking about all that today, and I think that there's so much that we need to know about the book of Revelation, about the end times. Jesus said that also in Luke 21, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. That is a great and precious promise, because we know we don't have to be afraid of what's coming on the earth, because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He will deliver us. He will save us. No matter what happens to us in this life, we know that Jesus Christ has overcome death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. So also I want to direct you to our YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel, and that channel is Jonah, T for Tom, 48. And we're starting a new YouTube channel. I just have two videos up on the new channel, Prophetic News TV. But we'll be spending more time making videos for YouTube. YouTube's a great ministry. And I noticed that some of these false prophets, such as Mike Murdoch, Creflo Dollar, Leroy, oh, I can't remember his name, but anyway, this one Leroy, they like to have people, if anybody criticizes them on YouTube, they don't do it to everybody, they kind of pick and choose, but they complain to YouTube and they have your videos taken down. Oh, anyway, it's like, don't you have anything else to do with your time? The truth is the truth. And if they try to stop me, well, they can't stop the Holy Ghost from convicting people. I wonder if some of these people have a conscience anyway. I thought it was kind of funny in a way when Mike Murdoch has to take time out of his day to file a complaint against me with YouTube and have one of my videos about him taken down. But like I said, if he has any conscience at all, he can't escape the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. So, and anyway, there's other voices out there besides mine. I'm going to bring one of my guests on. Hello.
Hey, Susan.
Hi, Phil.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Yeah, good. Football season started, so
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't see Christine.
Okay.
I don't know if I forgot to send her an email to remind her, so maybe she didn't remember. But anyway,
yeah.
I might email her real quick here.
Okay,
so,
cool.
How's everything over there in Washington? Is it
quiet? It's pretty good. It's a little chilly, believe it or not. Since the kids started, the first day they went back to school, it got chilly. I mean, before that, it was warm, nice and warm and hot. And I went to one of my son's football games. Of course, he didn't play in it yet. He's going to play in about a week or two. But his team was playing yesterday, and it was kind of chilly out there. I took my little son, my 8-year-old son, and he's sitting there covering up with his shirt, using his shirt to cover up his legs. So,
yeah, when summer's over, so right. I went out this morning, too. I live in the state of Florida, and it's been so hot. Like, even in the morning, you go out, and it's like a steam bath. But this morning,
wow.
I actually felt a cool breeze. So
yeah.
I said, well, I guess summer's just about over.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm glad it's over because it gets pretty hot here. I imagine where you live, you still have pretty good weather even in the summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you, Phil, about the vote that is coming up in the UN. Could you please explain to our listeners exactly what this vote is about? And why it will have an impact on the nation of Israel?
Yeah. First of all, Israel was trying to get to the peace table and try to establish a peace with its neighbors before they would want a Palestinian state. They wanted to sit out at the table. However, we know that in the Palestinian Charter talks about the destruction of Israel,
that's,
and we know that they're
the one
not having
the charter that's actually up for a vote at the UN.
No, it's just the way the charter is sort of like their constitution, kind of like the Palestinians' constitution, where they believe in the destruction of Israel. They have what is called like sort of like our Bill of Rights or our Constitution, where they say in their in these papers, these documents, that they want plain out Israel to be destroyed, and Israel wanted them to remove this from that paper. Those papers. And so what's happening is that was part of the deal. Now, Israel is not going to come to the forefront, you know, into the international body and say, we want them to remove it. They've already said that. We want them to remove it from their doctrine. And they won't do it. They won't do it. So how could you live side by side with somebody if you want their ultimate destruction? So to answer your question, I'll get into that in a second. The UN vote is the Palestinians' way of getting, it's Abbas's way of getting around accepting Israel as a nation. So in other words, they're not accepting Israel as a nation. Now, how can you not accept Israel as a nation when you're not a nation yet in the first place either? I mean, you're not a nation yet, so how can you say that you're not accepting Israel as a nation? But anyway, Israel wants them to look at them as, hey, we are a nation. We have the right to exist. So the Palestinians are saying they don't have the right to exist with a twisted mind. Now, we know back in Genesis, we see the fightings going on early on between the little Isaac and Israel. Now, they're brothers. Technically, Israel's brothers with these gods. But we don't ever look at it that way.
Oh, they don't like you to say that to them. They get very upset.
Yeah, they do. But Abraham's their father.
Israel and Isaac had the same father.
Yeah. So the UN vote is the Palestinians' way of getting around accepting Israel as a nation. So they're going to go straight. So that's why the Benjamin Netanyahu was trying to go to different countries and sell the bid to reject the vote coming in to play. Now, they want to divide Jerusalem. When they go to the UN for the vote, they're going to be discussing they're going to be discussing it earlier than the 20th. So sometime in the middle of September, they're going to start discussing, and then they're going to try to come up with a vote on probably around the 23rd. So here's the deal, folks. And you can study this too. Like I tell some people. Some people ask me on Facebook. Some people ask me on YouTube. Are you a prophet? You know, and I say no. I'm just me.
Yeah.
You know, but you can go research this yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm nobody special. If I was somebody special, I would have made it. Trust me, I would have probably. I'm pretty sure God would have exploded this ministry a long time ago. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I kind of realized that God was going to keep it down to a certain point, you know, where I'm not worldwide because I don't really want to even be worldwide. You know, I just want to do what I have to do as a person. I don't have, if you notice behind me and Susan's name, especially mine, I don't have evangelist Phil Armstrong or prophet Phil Armstrong or, you know, Reverend Armstrong or Pastor Armstrong. I don't even care about that stuff. I'm just me, Phil Armstrong. If you want to call me Junebug, go by Junebug. That's what they used to call me back in Michigan. But anyway, getting back to the Palestinian thing, if they come out of that thing, sister and folks that are listening, if they come out of the Palestinian vote and say that, hey, we now have a Palestinian state, you know, peace, and we have here, the capital will be East Jerusalem. I can almost guarantee you, I'll back up. I won't say guarantee you. But I can say this, God's judgment is not that far around the corner.
Yeah.
And I myself believe that, I was checking out this morning before the show, and I was looking at the names of the hurricanes. I'm not talking about the violence of the hurricanes themselves, but I was looking at the names. I want you to run in there and get my paper. But it was kind of weird, the names of the definition of the names. Let me run in here and get, because I was in my garage. I actually got my garage set up as a studio, but I don't have it set up all the way. But tell y'all the names. Now, look at Lee. Look at the tropical storm Lee for a second. Look at the tropical storm Lee. Tropical storm Lee is definition is shelter from the storm. Now, keep in mind, Hurricane Lee is technically a storm but on its own, so how could it have the definition shelter from the storm? It's beyond me. Also, Katina means pure. And she's sitting off the base of the Atlantic ready to come in. And Irene, we just got through with, means peace.
Oh, yeah.
So God can be sending a message because, remember, that storm wasn't as bad as it could have been. So,
no, it wasn't. But it did a lot of damage, that storm.
Yeah, it did a lot of damage, but it's not as bad as it could have been. Now, looking at these names, it could be a message from God that, you know, a storm is coming, but you can get shelter from the storm. Because remember, Lee is not even as bad as it can. All these storms is not as bad as they could be. So God is sending a message. And I believe when they divide Jerusalem, there will be a shelter from the storm. It won't be a storm people think. It'd be far worse than Katrina, far worse than all these other storms put together. But anyway, I just thought I'd go there for a second.
So do you think that they are definitely going to divide Jerusalem?
Yeah, eventually they will. Eventually they're going to divide Jerusalem using East Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian state. And eventually there's going to be a judgment from God after that. And if you read Zechariah and some of the books in the Old Testament, it'll give you the recipe for disaster. To give you, so it says anyone who has to do with dividing Jerusalem. So if you take the United States sustained, if you hear the United States sustained from voting, God can look at it that in two ways. He can look at that as, hey, you're sustaining because you don't want the public ridicule, but this is your form of not backing Israel. Of course, he's going to probably say that. And the other way is he's going to say, hey, you sustain, so I'm going to leave you alone. So God's ways are not our ways. But all those countries that will vote for a Palestinian state and vote for the dividing of Jerusalem probably will see immediate worldwide destruction, which will give the platform for the rise of the Antichrist immediately. So if you see that happen, and you know the next day after, on the 21st, is Peace Day. It's International Peace Day. So if you see them, if you see on your news, your local news, that they have established a Palestinian state and they have used East Jerusalem for a capital, you can almost bet you that judgment is coming very soon. So you might as well, either if you're a preacher, rapture person, pack your bags. And if you are mid in the post, make sure you get your food supplies. I'm just being funny there. But it's coming. So if that happens this September, if they devise Jerusalem, then we can almost guarantee you that there's going to be immediate destruction. Because in the Word of God, it says when they holler peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. Now, here's what I believe that is that's actually going to transpire. Is I think there's going to be a war before that Palestinian vote. And I woke up, sister, on the 1st. I went to bed on the night. I went to bed kind of late, and I didn't eat anything. So I went to bed, and I dreamed. I had a dream. And it was me. I guess we were on a base somewhere. And it was the same people that I was witnessing to a couple of years earlier about 9/11, because when 9/11 happened, before 9/11 happened, I was just witnessing to people. They asked me how could America be taken down, and I told them, well, the Twin Towers. Have you ever thought about the Twin Towers being, like, they could be hit? And I don't know where I got that scenario from. I think I got it from the X-Files. I think I got it from Alex Jones. I don't know where I got the scenario from. But anyway, it was the Holy Spirit
speaking.
People
were actually talking about it before it happened, that they could.
Before we
hit.
Found out about it. I don't know about before it happened, but before we even knew it happened. So somebody, the NCO, and I thought I was in a dream for a second. The NCO, you know, the person in charge said, come on, gather around, everybody. He was about 35 people. He's like maybe about 40. He was like, the Twin Towers just been hit. And everybody, their mouth just dropped, because I was just telling them that. And they always listened to me after that. Matter of fact, I had a brother kind of remind me of that, a guy that used to be stationed with me. He kind of reminded me of that. And that was 11 years ago. That was 10 years ago. So he kind of reminded me. I remember we used to sit around and talk about this stuff. Now it's happening. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So I had a dream, and it was the same people that I was talking to then. And somebody had came by and said, Damascus is destroyed. Get in the vans. We need to go back. We need to go back to, you know, the camp. So we get in the vans and go back to camp. And that was the dream. That's all I remember about the dream. But the thing is, it happened on the 1st of September, which is a strategic point to verify what will happen that month. So if Syria is attacked in the next couple of days or weeks, then I believe what can happen is rather than just the Palestinians going into the UN for a vote, they might have a peace agreement of some type brokered by the President of the United States, the German Chancellor, and the French President gathering together instead of one person, and then coming out with a peace deal that does not have a time on it.
Well, why is the nation of Syria, because really we didn't even hear that much about Syria. Now all of a sudden, they're our enemy, and we need to get rid of the head. So
why is Syria important
Bible prophecy?
Yeah, they make who they make for an enemy because, have you ever heard of the term the best money an enemy can buy? The best enemy money can buy. There's a thing out there where people kind of make jokes of that. But like Saddam Hussein, for instance, if you go back in history and you see a picture of Saddam Hussein shaking hands with Rumsfeld, you know that they were friends.
Yeah.
Or Lebanon's Libya's president, you know, hanging out with his sweetheart. He wants to, you know, Condoleezza Rice, who he has a crush on.
Yeah, but Saddam Hussein, wasn't he put in power actually by our country?
Yeah, by the CIA a lot, but it won't look like that on the surface. But, yeah, I mean, we put a lot of people in power. I mean, the CIA has been messing with history with the KGB and the MI5 and all these organizations, Mossad. They've been messing with history for a while, but these organizations are ran by Satan. And people don't understand that. They understand they're, because that's why people don't believe in the conspiracies, because they think it's too broad and they think it's too, you know, it's too much to manage. But the Bible's called Satan the prince of the power of the air. I mean, he's regulating these organizations. But to answer your question, Syria, I said this at the beginning of the year on a radio program, and I also said it to my wife. I sat her down on the couch and I drew a funnel. And I said at the wide part of a funnel, you know the funnels you put the oil in your vehicle?
Yeah.
Well, the wide part of the funnel is, you know, a lot of things happening, but it's so broad you can't really tell. And as the oil soups down through the narrow part of the funnel, you know, activity is taking place. It's being transferred. The oil is being transferred from the funnel to your vehicle. Well, I believe, or just like a drag racer, when a drag racer comes out of the starting gate, the car is actually looks like it's slow, and then it picks up speed. Well, I believe that would happen in these days that we live in, and Syria will be the number one issue, because the more I read Isaiah 17, the more I've seen that, hey, this is probably a bridge. Somebody said, well, a bridge for what? Well, a bridge from Psalms 83, which is the Israel's immediate nations, like Egypt, Jordan, you know, all of those little bitty, and then more like Libya, Lebanon. Libya's not in that one. And then it turns out that these countries will attack Israel first, and that's why you see border issues in the Sinai right now with Egypt. And Egypt was our friend for a while. Egypt. Egypt was Israel's friend for a while. And now they have Barack. And now they're enemies. They're fighting now.
Yeah.
And Jordan has yet to step in, but I'm pretty sure Jordan's going to follow. So these immediate nations, Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, they're going to start fighting Israel pretty soon. And I think what's going to happen is Syria is going to do a suicide mission, which what I mean by that is they're going to do their own Samson's fist, meaning they're going to say, okay, since NATO's coming in, we might as well start the war first. And I think that's what's going to happen in the next couple of days, which gives Israel, which Israel think they have grounds to go in and smash Syria. But it turns out that after that event, and they do take out Damascus, everybody's going to look at Israel as the enemy, and they're going to look at Israel in a harsher way than they used to. And it ain't going to be easy to divide Jerusalem after that. It's like, how can you come into somebody's land and take it and divide it when it's not yours in the first place? I don't get that.
Yeah.
That's just like, how would we like somebody from Mexico and Canada to come in and try
it.
To divide one of our states? We go to war with that.
Yeah.
So how can people, the hypocrisy is that people expect Israel to be still.
Really, yeah.
Lay down like a lady and take the rape. You know, I'm the rapey. I want to rape you. Stay there, relax while I do it, and I'll get up. Well, it's the same thing with Israel. Everybody's saying Israel. Israel's been restraining their unleashment of total revenge. They've been holding back for so long, and they've had so many reasons, Susan, to go in and blow people up. I mean, they've had so many reasons. Now, we know the Lebanon War in 2006 was a, I think it was 2000, I think that was the one, was a complete, was actually not fought successfully. I don't know if they did that on purpose or what, but it was not fought successfully. So Lebanon's going to have a lot of more, you know, Lebanon's controlled by Hezbollah completely. And you know already what happened in Syria. Syria is already, what happened in Egypt. Egypt is already controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
We Libya, they're controlled. They just replaced Libya's leader, Gaddafi, who's been there for a long time, who wasn't bothering anybody. Now they replaced him with somebody who will bother somebody.
Yeah.
So go figure. I mean, it's like the global in the Bilderbergers. We know that. Let me explain what the Bilderbergers is. It's a organization that started off I think it's 1940s, and this organization had a meeting, their first meeting somewhere in Switzerland, and. It was in a hotel called the Bilderberg Hotel. And these people met in secrecy. Now, these are your top CEOs, politicians, kings.
So it's by invitation only that you can join.
By invitation only. Secrecy. The media does not cover these. They're not allowed to cover these people. So what happens is, like, for instance, President Obama, he goes into the he was the last person who goes. He went there with Hillary Clinton. I don't know if y'all remember in 2008 when Hillary and President Obama vanished off the radar, meaning nobody knew where they were. They were even talking about it on NBC, CSNBC, Fox, CNN, you know, your local channels. They were asking, where did they go for, like, a couple hours? Well, they went to the Bilderberger meeting, and they came out, and they anointed the president. They said, okay, Barack Obama, you're president, and she needs to be given a top priority, and we'll see you in 2012, Hillary. Or 2000 or the next one. But she's looking pretty older. She's probably going to be like, forget it. I don't want nothing to do with it pretty soon. I can just look
at
her.
Well, she'll be in her 70s by the time her chance
but
comes
also,
up again.
Yeah. So also the Bilderbergers had Bill Clinton come to the meeting, and he left the meeting as president. And also back in 2003 or 2002, 2001, they were saying that, are we going to go into Iraq in 2002? And then the Bilderbergers came out of the meeting and said, no, we're going to go there in 2003. And you know what happened. We went in 2003. So the Bilderbergers this year, I'm sitting on my porch, so if you hear motorcycles and stuff, that's what that is. My son is on the prowl, so I have to get away from him. I apologize. But, what the Bilderbergers did this time was they came out and said, we're going to expand the war in the Middle East. Now, expand the war in the Middle East can mean a few things. It can just mean expand the war between two nations or expand the war between a lot of nations. Now, I know it to be a lot of nations because I understand and I've read, and a lot of y'all out there have read, the fact that we needed to study the generation size. When Jesus was saying, now learn the parable of the fig tree, he's talking about Israel And I've heard some of the better preachers deny that he's talking about Israel, but they're replacing Israel with the church already anyway. So what difference does it make? But in 1948, Israel became a nation. So you go up 70 years, which is spoken of in the Psalms 90. It tells you the generation size, and it says 70, which is 70 years. And if you're healthy enough, you make it to 80. Now, if you go to the mall and travel around, you're going to see a lot, or if you read the obituaries, you're going to notice a lot of people drop dead in their 50s. So it's not anything new to say that the 70 years is the generation. So 1948 to 2018 where the generation will run out. So here's some things that could happen in the next week. In the next couple of weeks, we know that I'm not 100% sold on Comet Elenine, which is looks like to me it's not a comet at all. It looks like to me it's a planet, but at the same time I'm torn between it. So I really don't pay attention to it as much as I used to. I'm sort of leaning towards looking towards the skies anyway, looking at Jesus to come back rather than looking at some comet.
That's it.
But it's interesting,
sometimes,
folks.
Sometimes
that
it just
this comet,
be a distraction.
Yeah, it could be a distraction. But at
it's
the
like
same
Y2K,
time.
Like Y2K, it was a big distraction.
Yeah, it was a huge distraction. Along with, I'm not saying this thing is not real. I'm just saying that we have to be careful that we don't get our feelings hurt. And a lot of times when we get our feelings hurt in this natural world, we tend to stray from the very thing that we were trying to hold on to in the first place, which is Jesus.
Yeah,
so we have to be careful on these issues, because if we think that Calvin Elenin is real and it turns out to be real, we're going to be like, wow. But if it turns out to be fake or phony that the devil stuck up there just to get us to rattle our
heads
again.
Well, that's a distraction, yeah.
Yeah,
we'll
be hurt.
I kind of put it in the same, Y2K was, because I didn't think anything big was going to happen at Y2K. I thought, you mean that all these big, intelligent people that put together the computers, like Bill Gates and these people, they want to go bankrupt in the year 2000? No, I don't think so. I think they're not that stupid. It was one of the times of great prosperity, because at that time you could buy a penny stock for 15 cents and then three or four weeks later it's worth $20. So it was a boom for smart people, but the devil, sometimes he just gets you sidetracked.
Yeah.
And that's it, when we take our eyes off Jesus. This whole situation there in the Middle East, it's so interesting, because now if they don't pass this vote, say at the end of September, what if they reject the Palestinian state at this time? Then will they bring it up for another vote?
Well, I believe from what I see and what I've read is that it's going to be a war anyway.
Yeah.
The Palestinians will go to war because of the fact that it was not a Palestinian state. And they're going to think Israel went around and tried to convince everybody. But it looks like they got the votes.
Really?
They're not really worried too much, if you notice. The only thing they're doing now is, it's like being a president, running for president. You already know you got the votes, you're going to get the votes, but you just don't sit down. You keep going. You keep running for president. So a boss is still going around along with his officers and his other political comrades is going around promoting, just like Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu and his officers, Peres and all those guys, they're going around trying to do the opposite and trying to get people not to vote for it. But anyway, anyway you shake it, it's going to be a war. And like I said, going back to that comment, Y2K can be also a distraction to a point that it distracts people from seeing, believing that something actually could happen, this phenomenon. Because if you read, I don't think that Luke 21 was illustrated just for the revelations. I think he was trying to give us a warning outside of the tribulation period. And if you read it carefully, You see, and I'm talking about Luke 21. If you read Luke 21:34, he says, "Pray that you should be kept out of, or that or you would be able to stand in front of the Son of Man."
Yeah.
So standing in front of the Son of Man is the judgment seat of Christ, meaning the bema seat of Christ, where you're judged for your works. So you're praying that you could be counted worthy to escape. If you guys can grab a Bible and read that. It's saying to pray that you have counted worthy to escape these things. Now, how could you escape these things unless you maybe missed the whole thing? You know, because the events that he started off talking about early in that chapter was about the revelations. But if you read Matthew 24, I don't have my Bible with me, I'm standing outside, but if you read Matthew 24, the tribulation period starts at verse 8. Everybody thinks that whole chapter is about the tribulation period. It's not. If you read when he says there should be false prophets among you, and then he goes on to say, there should be earthquakes and pestilence and famines, and then he says there should be wars and rumors of wars. And then he goes on to say nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And then he says a key thing. Then he says, and these should be the beginning of birth pains. And then he goes on to train. It's like it shifts. And he says, then you should be handed over. I don't know what Matthew actually says verbatim after that chapter, but I know he's saying you should be handed over to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple of verses later, he says, and then you should see the abomination that causes desolation, which is the middle of the tribulation period. And then a few verses later, then it says, then you should see the Son of Man coming with power. You see that. So that whole chapter is actually divided. And everybody looks at that chapter as a whole chapter, and it's the book of Revelations. It's not. The whole thing, yeah, most of it is to the Jewish people. Because at that time when he wrote that book, Matthew wrote that book, the church was not formed at that time. But what I'm saying is from verse 1, when the disciples asked him, so what about this temple up here? He says this temple will not be left one stone. And a few minutes later, he starts illustrating what will be happening prior to my coming. And then he'll say there should be false prophets, there should be wars and rumors of wars,
well,
there should be
famines.
And then all of a sudden, nations should rise against, all of a sudden out of nowhere, nations should rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. You know, so what it is a shock. So the globalists who really run the world understand shock and awe. It was not just based off of Iraqi war, where you shock and awe. So it was based off their whole... It's order out of chaos. So what they believe in is to shock somebody. So when you say, because I hear a lot of people say, and I say it myself, I say, you just heard me say it, that Y2K, I'm asking myself, is this common element in another Y2K, or could it be real? So if it's real, what did God say to the church? He was saying this. Somebody was saying, well, the resurrection has already came. And then God gave an illustration. He says, I shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, what is this strong delusion? Why does he say that? So when the Christians, for those who are pre-trib, and this is, I'm only talking to those who are pre-trib right now, if there is a vanishing, if God decides, if he does come back and get his people, you're going to have to justify what happened to all those people. So when he says, and I shall send them, the people of the world, a strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What lie? So after the church is gone and all these people vanish, including babies and people all over in governments and official places, a business and the NFL and the CFL and the, all this, you know, all because it's football season now. If you have some people vanish, you're going to be hurting. So if you see all these things happening, you're going to be sitting up there saying, okay, so what happened? The UFO, you're going to have these shows come on. Oprah Winfrey might even do a special on what happened. Was the earth purified? Was it cleansed? Well, is this the new world? I mean, is this the new age?
No, it's the UFOs.
Yeah, and then they also talk about UFOs. sightings and all this other stuff. It's not me. It's not. I don't believe in the Nephilim and all this other stuff, but I do believe what the Bible says.
I don't believe in any angels coming down.
I don't believe in UFOs. I don't believe that there's outside or a spaceship is going to come say R2-D2, you know, and or you must follow us. But I do believe.
Well, I want to know what they're smoking if they're seeing you.
Well, I do believe in aliens. And if you read Ephesians 6 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and diverse and wicked places.
Yeah, but they're talking
places.
About devils. They're talking about
demons.
Devils.
If there is a rapture, which I believe there is, and millions of people vanish, if I was a demon, I would take advantage of it. If I was Satan, I would take advantage of it. And I would have, that's why he says, and I shall send them a strong delusion. So if Common Elden turns out to be correct, I mean, I've always left room for the unseen. I've always left room for the astronomer, the great, you know, illusions. Because he said,
yeah,
I will send them a strong
like
illusion.
The people that are behind it.
Some
funny lady.
Because
they could
be
phony. They're not Christian.
He said that they don't believe the lie. What if it's not UFO? What if it's not? What if it's just government officials behind it? What if they got a giant spaceship somewhere ready to fly off?
It's not coming from a biblical source. You know, it's coming from an outside source of people that are involved. Some of them are involved with sorcery, so you can't really.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to fool the masses, and the Bible does not cover everything.
Sometimes they want to see how much they can fool the masses. So how much? I mean, it's just like the whole prosperity gospel. How can we take good Bible-believing Christians and turn them into selfish people that only do something because they want to get something? And so the whole everything just becomes perverted.
And the thing is, sister, a lot of times we look at these prosperity people, but listen to the response. Like the videos that you do, and I've seen a lot of other videos that are good videos that's bringing out things. Listen to the response. If you don't block the comments, listen to the response. And if you read 2 Peter chapter 3, it says they shall follow their pernicious ways.
Oh well, yeah, you see that because most of the responses are negative.
Yeah, and they mean.
Very few are positive.
Yeah.
But I don't. I only take down the comments if somebody cusses or makes a sexual innuendo. Usually I take
them
down. I don't care if they criticize me or say, but you notice that what you're saying is, they'll follow their pernicious ways.
Yeah.
And you see that more and more now is that more people accept the false gospel and they reject the true gospel. Even people that know the Lord are doing that.
Yeah, and then you just have to talk to people a little bit longer and reveal, you know, what's there because you can't just go, you know, you're in the military or you go off to college or you got a new job and you're talking to people about Jesus and you got to give them some time to reveal themselves or they got to give you some time to reveal yourself. So what I mean by that is you get your feelings hurt by talking to, you know, Sister Betty, and then she revealed to you all of a sudden that God, if you don't have any money, you ain't saved. You don't tell me up there and tell me you saved and God ain't blessing you. You got holes in your sock and all this. I got a lot of holes in my sock because I don't trim my nails.
You got sick, so you don't have any faith. Yeah, it's really a cruel form of what they call Christianity. They forget that God is sovereign, so sometimes God does actually make you go through some tribulation because Jesus, it's one of the promises in the Bible. It's a promise that most people don't quote, though, is Jesus said
James,
you will
first
have tribulation.
James, the book of James chapter talks about count it all joy when you fall into diverse tribulation and temptation because it helps you grow.
Yeah.
It helps you rely on Jesus.
But, you know, according to the Word of Faith people, no, you can't. If you're going through something, it's something that you did to make this thing happen. It might be, you know, you made a bad confession or something. So, but we really live in some amazing times where we see that what, and Jesus said that this would happen, where people would call good evil and evil good.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that.
Oh, yeah. And then you sit up there and you watch. Yeah, you sit up there and you watch, you know, a lot of these televangelists. I don't even think about it myself. People say, well, you wish they're going to fall and all this other stuff. I'm like, dude, they're going to fall their own self.
Yeah,
I don't have to wish nothing.
I
don't look into their lives. I mean, I really don't care. You know,
well, the only thing I care about is this—the—is correcting the false teachings because we're responsible to if we're going to teach the Bible is to teach the Bible correctly. So if someone's teaching the Bible incorrectly, then we have every right to make the correction. As far as their personal life, their walk with the Lord, I hope that they repent and get their lives right with God before it's too late.
Yeah.
Because everything can be taken away from you. You can have, we remember what happened to Jim Baker years ago. He was one of the wealthiest TV evangelists. He had everything. He was invited to the White House, and then all of a sudden he's in prison cleaning toilets, and he loses everything. He loses all his money. He loses his wife. And so you can be on top of the world one day, but God can get your attention, and he can take it all away from you. So,
well, it's like Haggard. Haggard didn't go to jail. Haggard, didn't, the one in Colorado, they got caught with the homosexual part.
And then using the meth. No, he didn't go to jail.
He didn't lose his wife, but he lost the ministry. He ended up on the road looking for jobs. Because remember, he was a pastor of a big church.
Oh, he was a pastor of a large church. He was also the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, which I don't know how many millions of members they had.
And
the guy that has a secret life. But the thing is, it's always the same. It's the same issue that happened with Satan. Is it was pride that took him out. So you can see a lot of these creatures. They get rich and they get famous, and then they get into pride, then God will warn them if they belong to God. He will warn them. He'll do everything he can to try to save them from public humiliation. But sooner or later, your sin will find you out, and it will be in the newspaper.
Yeah, how much time we have?
We just have about 6 minutes.
Okay. I want to say something right quick of you. Okay. I don't want to say this as if I really care to a point where I'm making people my enemies and stuff like that, but I don't mind for people who are posting mid and pre and all millennial point of view. But one thing I wanted to say is this, because we just got to talk about the televangelists. When you believe that Jesus Christ can come at any moment, it changes your perspective. It changes your whole life perspective. When you know when Jesus Christ is going to come back, when you got to see the Antichrist and the temple built, and you got to know the exact number of days where the comet's going to hit the earth and the grass is going to turn, you know, burn and all this other things, it puts you in a stupor where you start warning people that they need to get food supplies. But when you believe that Jesus Christ can come back at any moment, pre-trib, it changes your whole perspective. And you also need to understand that, he's not. We have already been saved, so he's not going to get us in front of him and judge us for, you know, you're going into hell now since I'm just made to change my mind. But when we get up there, he is going to review our lives. We're not saved by works, but he's going to review our works to see if we were faithful to him and what we did with what he gave us. And if you read the Bible about the talents, it talks about those those things. So what I want to tell everybody out there as you listen to the show is that Jesus is coming soon. We're not told to look for the Antichrist. We're told to look for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's why he told us those things, because he knew that the church was going to be taken out. And I suggest people out there read the research online, Google. You got Google. Research the old Jewish customs about marriage, because the customs about marriage will reflect Jesus Christ's marriage to his bride. And then it'll let you see, you'll start to see clearly that God is not going to send his bride through the tribulation period. Why would you do that when you love your bride? So that's why he said, and a lot of people ignore some of the things that he said. He said, I shall keep you out of. It says God has not restored us to wrath. And that's in Thessalonians, the first chapter, the last verse, I think it is. He's not appointed us to wrath. So that's a corporate punishment. Meaning, nations are judged outside of time, inside of time, and individuals are judged outside of time. So when he said he's not appointed us to wrath, that means that he has not appointed the Christians, which is a nation. He calls them a new nation. He says, I should call them the people that are not my people, and the Gentile nations. And then he says, in Romans chapter 14, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That's just, a lot of these things, people say, well, the rapture came from some old lady that was, a lot of, if you just look at the Bible, you see God's nature. You see that he took Lot out. He even gave you the answer right there, just Lot by itself. Will you destroy the city if there was 10 righteous people? No. How are we found righteous? Through the cross. So Jesus paved the way for us on the cross. And if you're not saved, ask Jesus to come into your heart.
That's it.
And he will. He will come in and he will save you. And he will change you. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are.
Hallelujah.
He's going to change you. And he's going to be with you in the times of trouble and tribulation that you will encounter. But blessed is the man who will join the, you know, with Jesus the last couple of days, you know, that's what exactly what he's doing, you know.
Well, some people will be surprised because, especially people that are
some people
are going to
be very surprised. I wish I could have did that.
They're going to find out the truth, and then it'll be too late.
I wish I would have came in at the last minute. Okay, this is nice.
Well,
those
Christians that we made fun of, they knew what they were talking about. Anybody that's been born again, knows Jesus Christ is real, and that's why we're doing this program today, because there's people that are listening and will listen, and you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way. You could say, oh, yeah, I know Jesus, and I know about Jesus, but do you know who he really is? Do you know that he's God? He came down from heaven. He left heaven because he always was and he ever will be, but he came down from heaven. He was born of a virgin, where Mary was not his mother, because God does not have a mother. I mean, she represented a mother figure to him. She brought him forth, but God does not have a mother. And Jesus knew all things because he didn't leave his divinity behind when he came to earth. He was still God. That he came to die on a cross and to save men from their sins, and he can save you today and deliver you. So I want to thank you, Phil, for coming on.
Amen.
And we're going to sign off with that ye must be born again. Don't fear things that are coming upon the earth, but give your life to Jesus Christ today. Get down on your knees and ask him to forgive you and ask him into your life, and you'll see you will have a new life, and it's better than the old life. It's a wonderful life. God bless you, Phil. Thank you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.